قل كفى بالله بيني وبينكم شهيدا يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض والذين آمنوا بالباطل وكفروا بالله أولئك هم الخاسرون.
Say, O Prophet, Allah suffices as a witness between me and you. He knows whatever is in the heavens and the earth. As for those who believe in falsehood and are engaged in infidelity with Allah, it is they who will be the losers.
وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَوْلَا أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّا لَجَاءَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَيَأْتِيَنَّهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
They ask you to hasten in bringing chastisement upon them. Had there not been an appointed term for it, the chastisement would have already visited them. In fact, it will come down upon them all of a sudden at its appointed time, while they will not be aware of it. They ask you to hasten in bringing chastisement upon them.
The unbelievers repeatedly challenged the Prophet, peace be upon him, to bring on the chastisement he warned them about. If he were a genuine messenger, and if they were guilty of rejecting the truth, why did he not have them struck down with that chastisement?
يَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ.
They ask you to hasten the chastisement upon them, although hell encompasses the unbelievers.
يَوْمَ يَغْشَاهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ وَيَقُولُ ذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
They will become aware of it, the day when the chastisement will overwhelm them from above and from under their feet. And he will say to them, taste now the consequence of the deeds that you used to commit.
يا عبادي الذين آمنوا إن أرضي واسعة فإياي فاعبدون.
O my servants who believe, verily my earth is vast, so serve me alone. O my servants who believe, verily my earth is vast, so serve me alone.
This is an allusion to Hijrah. The purpose of the verse is to impress on the believers that their supreme duty is to serve God. Now, if it was not difficult to do so in Mecca, God's earth was immensely vast and not confined to any particular place. Since the believers were devotees of God, rather than of any particular country or nation, they should migrate to some other land where it would be possible to live freely as God's servants. Their priority should be to serve and worship their Lord rather than their people or country. Whenever there is a clash between loyalty to one's country and people on the one hand and loyalty to God on the other, a believer's faith is truly tested. Whenever a true believer is put to such a test, he is bound to spurn all other loyalties that conflict with his loyalties to God. As for those who falsely claim to be believers, they are likely to give up their faith and remain loyal to their country or nation. The unmistakable upshot of this verse is that while a true believer can be the lover of his people and country, he cannot be their worshipper, making his country and his people the locus of his ultimate loyalty. This is because he cherishes devotion to God above everything else. A believer can sacrifice everything for the sake of devotion to God, but he cannot sacrifice devotion to God for anything else.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون.
Every being shall taste death. Then it is to us that you shall be sent back. Every being shall taste death. Then it is to us that you shall be sent back.
That is, man should not be obsessive about his life. After all, he has to die someday, as no one is immortal. A man's thoughts, therefore, should not be focused on how to keep himself alive. The true matter of concern should be how he can preserve his faith and fulfill his obligations towards God. For it is to God that he will return. If one suffers the loss of one's faith for the sake of survival, this leads to the consequences quite different from losing any other thing, including one's own life, in order to keep faith intact. Thus, the question on which a person's thinking should be centered is, what is it that man carries with him when he returns to his Lord? Is it his life for whose sake he sacrificed his faith, or his faith for whose sake he sacrificed his life?
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا نِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ.
We shall house those who believed and acted righteously in the lofty mansions of paradise, beneath which rivers flow. There they shall remain forever. How excellent a reward it is for those who acted in obedience to Allah. There they shall remain forever. How excellent a reward it is for those who acted in obedience to Allah.
It is possible that someone remains deprived of all worldly bounties on account of having followed the course of faith and righteousness, and thus apparently has had an unsuccessful worldly life. This, however, should not be something about which to worry, for this person will certainly be fully compensated for all the losses he has suffered. Furthermore, he will also receive an excellent reward for his performance.
الذين صبروا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
Who remain steadfast and put their trust in their Lord. Who remain steadfast.
That is, true believers adhere to their faith in the face of all manner of hardships, sufferings, and losses. They put up with all this and patiently faced all dangers that came their way, never once turning their backs on their duty. They were well aware of the worldly benefits that might accrue to them if they abandoned faith, yet that option held no appeal. They saw the unbelievers around them flourishing, but they did not cast even a passing glance at their wealth and affluence.
And put their trust in their Lord.
True believers put their trust in their Lord rather than in their properties and businesses or family and tribal affinities. They are the ones who resolve to face every risk and take on any opposing power in their faith's cause as a result of putting their faith in God and disregarding all possible material considerations. When the need arises, they abandon their hurts and homes. They do so trusting that God will never deprive those who have such unflinching faith in Him and who adhere to faith and righteousness of their due reward. They do so knowing that God will not disappoint His believing and righteous servants, and that He will aid them in this world, as also amply reward them in the next.
وَكَأَيِّن مِّن دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
How many an animal there is that does not carry about its sustenance. Allah provides sustenance to them and to you. He is all-hearing, all-knowing. Allah provides sustenance to them and to you. He is all-hearing, all-knowing.
While migrating in the cause of God, the believers should not be overly concerned with questions about how they will obtain their sustenance, just as they are not concerned about the safety of their lives. Before their very eyes, they observe innumerable animals and birds going about on land, sea, and air. They do not carry their sustenance, yet God sustains them. Wherever they go, they receive their sustenance. Therefore, mundane considerations should not deter the believers from migrating in the cause of faith. God will provide them with their livelihood from the same treasure house of resources from which He provides all His countless creatures. The same truth was taught by the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, to his disciples. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Matthew 6:24-34. The background to both the Quranic verse and the biblical passages is the same. Inevitably, there comes a stage in the struggle for the cause of truth when, irrespective of all other factors, truth's devotee is left with no other option but to place all his trust in God and stake all that he has, including his life, for his cause. In such circumstances, those who are excessively occupied with calculating the different possibilities available to them in the future will be able to do nothing. This because when they take one step forward, they will try to make sure that their lives and livelihoods are fully guaranteed. It is only those who have revolutionary fervor and are willing to take risks and even imperil their lives that can make any impact and bring about change. It is through the heroic efforts and sacrifices of such people that the Word of God will eventually be exalted and those doctrines opposed to it will be reduced to ineffectuality.
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ فَأَنَّى يُؤْفَكُونَ
If you were to ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, and who has kept the sun and the moon in subjection? They will certainly say, Allah. How come, then, they are being deluded from the truth?
This marks the resumption of the discourse addressed to the Meccan unbelievers.
Allah yabsutu ar-rizqa liman yasha'u min ibadihi wa yaqdiru lahu. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ
Allah enlarges the sustenance of any of His servants whom He will, and straightens the sustenance of whom He will. Surely, Allah has knowledge of everything.
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فأحيا به الأرض من بعد موتها ليقولن الله قل الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعقلون
If you were to ask them, who sent down water from the sky and therewith revived the earth after its death, they will certainly say, Allah. Say, to Allah alone be praise and thanks, but most people do not understand. Say, to Allah alone be praise and thanks.
The words Alhamdulillah, for God alone be praise and thanks, here suggest two things. First, praise and thanks for all the great tasks, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the harnessing of the sun and the moon, the bestowal of sustenance on all creatures, and the sending down of water from the sky and therewith the revival of the earth after it had become dead. If all this is so, then quite obviously, God alone deserves praise and thanks. Secondly, God should also be thanked for the fact that even the unbelievers recognized that all these tasks were performed by Him alone.